In 2022, the World Health Organization reported that 1 in 8 people have obesity, and that obesity rates have more than doubled since 1990. To put this into context, in a room of 100 people, 12 to 13 of them will have obesity. Hello, and welcome to Hashtag Health, a podcast where medical students interview experts on current and relevant issues in healthcare. I'm Ariana, and I'm a second-year medical student at Western University. I'll be your host for this episode series on obesity medicine, and weight stigma. We go into more detail during the episode, but before we dive in, let's talk about what obesity is. Obesity is a chronic disease where excess or abnormal body fat leads to various medical complications such as type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. It's a really complex topic, but our current knowledge suggests that obesity is not just caused by the environment, but also other genetic, metabolic, and behavioral factors, and these all interact with each other. Historically, this excessive obesity treatment was solely measured by the amount of weight loss that a patient was able to achieve and primarily focused on using lifestyle changes such as dieting and exercising to achieve this outcome. Marketing and health messaging had a role in this approach, mistakenly blaming diet and eating habits as the sole cause of obesity. However, we now know that it is much more complicated than this, and fortunately, newer obesity treatments are multifactorial and more effective. Additionally, treatment goals now include improving the patient's quality of life, in addition to addressing body fat-related complications and weight maintenance or loss. We're excited to welcome our guest speaker, Dr. Spencer Nadolski. Dr. Nadolski is a board-certified family medicine physician who specializes in obesity medicine and lipidology. He's also the medical director of Weight Watchers and leads its virtual clinic, which is comprised of a multidisciplinary team who uses evidence-based methods to help patients with obesity. He's also active on social media, where he educates his followers on obesity, addresses myths and misconceptions, and more. Let's get right into this episode.
So, Dr. Nadolski, thank you so much for coming on to Hashtag Health today. And I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. So currently I'm the Weight Watchers medical director, but my background is first in family medicine, and then I specialize in obesity medicine, something called lipidology. And then before that, I was a collegiate athlete. I wrestled and played football and was really into sports nutrition. And then what got me into kind of this obesity world is thinking about how to take kind of my obsession for sports performance and really just taking a fraction of that and really taking it to, just average normal people and giving them just a little bit to prevent and treat their chronic disease. So I didn't really care about getting people's bench press or whatever 40-yard dashes improved. I really wanted to get them to, hey, maybe they could put their type 2 diabetes into remission and walk without pain type of thing. So that's kind of the gist. I really like innovative ways of practicing medicine. So I got into telemedicine, and which I think is great for like chronic disease management. Not, I don't think it's as great for acute care. Some of it is fine, but like for real chronic disease, kind of meeting people where they are so they don't have to take a half day off work just for to chat real quick and get a refill type of thing. So yeah, that's kind of my gist and background.
So you mentioned obesity medicine, and I don't think that many people know that it's its own specialty. So I was wondering if you could talk about what you do as an obesity medicine doc and how it's distinct from other specialties like family medicine, for example.
Yeah, it's kind of taking this adipose-centric or, kind of adipose as the center of disease-centric approach, as opposed to like, type 2 diabetes, we're given insulin, and then we had these drugs called sulfonylureas, if anybody's even using those anymore, or some people still do. But basically to increase insulin levels to get the blood sugars down when the underlying cause of type 2 diabetes is really the adipose tissue in the first place, and excess energy kind of toxicity is what people say. So why not treat that? So it's kind of hitting a lot of chronic disease before it happens. So you really focus on the concept of obesity as a disease. It's slightly controversial amongst certain groups online and things like that. There's some debates, but like I think most people can agree that obesity, excess adipose tissue can cause many of our current chronic diseases that we're seeing, obviously type 2 diabetes, but there's hypertension, dyslipidemia, metabolic syndrome-esque things, which then leads to cardiovascular disease, chronic kidney disease, and now we're seeing metabolic associated dysfunction in the liver and things like that. So instead of like family medicine is very broad. It's as broad as you can get. That's why I think we need good family doctors out there, although I don't know how it is in Canada, but I know in the States it's becoming less of a chosen a specialty because it's hard. It's hard to do it well. Insurances make it difficult, but imagine specializing into a whole disease state that is then underlying many other chronic diseases as opposed to, throwing band-aids at things. And ideally, most doctors want to get to the root cause of things. And I think this gets to the root cause of lots of things. So the way I do it, I mean, you assess a patient that comes in. A lot of people want to lose weight, but you don't want to, the obesity specialist doesn't look at it as vanity weight loss. That's what a lot of, Hollywood and everything like that is like, all right, how do we get this person to lose weight? Instead, you start thinking, how do we improve this person's health? Well, some people can have what seems to be a lot of excess weight, but like they're actually not doing so bad health-wise. And so you may not be as aggressive with them and trying to, maximize therapies. Well, you don't necessarily have to throw them to bariatric surgery and put them on the new medicines out there versus someone else. Maybe they have type 2 diabetes, obstructive sleep apnea, heart disease, heart failure, all these different things going on. That person you may want to be a little bit more aggressive with. So you look at it from kind of this lens of like complications from their adipose tissue. And you try to take a holistic approach. You try to, you factor in socioeconomic status, use culture, all these different things through the lens of that person in front of you. So you don't just focus on just weight loss, but it's obesity as this kind of big chronic disease. It's a paradigm shift. And most people just think of it as vanity, but it's really not.
Yeah, so lots of concepts there to unpack. And I thought we'd start off with obesity as a disease, like you mentioned, because I think there are a lot of just misconceptions surrounding obesity, but especially just what it is. Because I think for most people, and certainly for myself before I got into medicine and learned more about obesity medicine, people think BMI over 30, having a larger body, that's what obesity is. But like you mentioned, there's the blood sugar, there's the blood pressure, cholesterol, kidney disease, and so on. And excess body fat is just one of its characteristics. So I was wondering if you could touch a bit more just the definition and maybe briefly about diagnostic criteria.
Yeah, there's a whole international committee. It should be published here soon. There's a whole manuscript that all the big time obesity experts got in on around the entire world, multiple organizations coming together to kind of give a better definition. So it's not so what we'd call anthropometric, like you said, just, all right, you got a BMI of 30. All right, slap that obesity code on their chart and diagnose them. It's like, well, okay, I mean, like in college, for example, my BMI was right above 30, but it was pretty muscular. So, like, would they have put that in my chart? Probably not if they knew what they were doing, but some people might have. So it really goes into the like clinic what we call clinical obesity. Clinical obesity would mean you're having like problems, like clinical issues from the obesity. Like you said, is it if somebody has a 30 BMI, but like they're running marathons, which people are like, no, that nobody with obesity, no one with a 30. There are people, I have patients that have stark normal, every whatever issue that you can think of related to obesity, that's normal. No blood sugar issues, no dyslipidemia, blood pressure is better than mine type of thing. They have cardiorespiratory fitness that's, at or better than mine type of thing. So does that person doesn't have clinical obesity. They may have like preclinical obesity just based off of just body fat levels, but they don't actually have the complications from it. So I think it's really important to start going into more of this clinical diagnosis. And I know up in Canada, Dr. Arish Sharma, he did the Edmonton obesity staging system, and he and a few other, there's been other organizations that have kind of done the staging where it's kind of like, all right, well, if you have zero complications from the obesity, like do you have a disease? You may have a risk of developing said issues later on, but right now you're doing all right. So it's really taken this complication-centric approach to the adiposity, the adipose tissue, and really going beyond just BMI or even body fat percentages by itself. Again, so like if somebody has like type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure, that person's in a much different risk category than someone who was just, yeah, the BMI hit threshold hit 30, but again, they're running marathons, much different scenario. So, you know, there's different ways of defining a disease, biological process that increases morbidity, mortality, has signs and symptoms. That's why they called it the AMA in the States in 2013, called it a disease because of certain factors like that. But like, when you really get down to it, it's really it has to do with the those complications. And so I think that international committee and consensus will be it'll be good to have that to show people, hey, let's get beyond the whole scale thing here by itself.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is that obesity is a complex disease. And so, since it's a complex disease, I'd imagine, and I know you do talk about this, it's just not as simple as it's entirely caused by someone's lifestyle choices or someone who doesn't want to engage in self-care or someone who just refuses to eat less and move more. Could you talk more about that, like some of the causes and stuff?
Yeah. So in general, we think of obesity and just weight gain in general from energy intake excess. So calories in versus calories out, but it's much more complex than that. But when you simplify it into the energy balance, so how much energy you're expending, your body expends energy in different ways, just sitting here living and breathing, you know, you got your basal metabolic rate, resting metabolic rate. And then moving around, just me kind of fidgeting right now. That's kind of that non-exercise activity, thermogenesis, even eating, there's a cost of eating. And then there's exercise activity. So then purposeful movement and that type of thing. So that's how much energy you burn. And then there's how much energy you eat. And actually, it's really how much you absorb. But the thing is, when people get really confused by that, because they're like, yeah, so just eat less. It's like, yeah, if it was totally in our control, that would be nice. And so I think most of the patients that I've met have done some sort of form of calorie restriction, like purposeful calorie restriction. They've done low carb, they've done keto, they've done plant-based diets, they've done whatever calorie counting diet. There's multiple different types of calorie counting things, a Mediterranean diet, whatever, different grapefruit diets, fasts, whatever, intermittent fasting. They've done some sort of way of trying to purposely lower their calorie intake. And everybody says it's just so easy. When you start shifting the paradigm to understanding that eating behavior is more of a biological driver, and what really drives that is appetite. And of course, our environment, our surrounding. If we didn't have our current, you know, surrounding, despite our appetites, we wouldn't be eating as many calories. It's just the food surrounding us. So when you think of the biological drivers, though, you think of it more like just breathing. Tell people to breathe a little bit less. It's like, no, it's subconscious unless you start thinking about it, but that you can't think about it. So appetite's a lot of subconscious. We do have some control over it, obviously. If we didn't, like, then forget everything. But like most people will consciously try to eat fewer calories at some point when they're trying to lose weight. In the end, the environment and their body wins, unfortunately. For the majority of people, you know, around 10% of people can have a high amount of success. A higher percentage can have a little bit of success, but like when we're talking true, like high amounts of weight loss, it's a very small percentage that keeps it off over the long term. So when we start thinking of it more as a biological disease, we start going, oh, okay, we need to treat it a little bit differently then. Obviously, we should treat the environment, but like that's easier said than done. But that's why these newer drugs are so powerful because they hit these biological receptors in the brain to then help people kind of navigate their environments, which means that all of a sudden, instead of it, like when people say obesity is a choice, they're choosing to eat that much. No, they're not choosing to. They're just eating that much because it's a driver. Now, all of a sudden, you hit those receptors in the brain and it gives them back the agency or the choice in the matter. So that's kind of the whole kind of mind shift. And that's how you get away from some of the stigma because people think that it's like, I don't, why can't this per well, this person's lazy. They're a glutton. They're just choosing to eat that much. It's like, no, they're not. They're just their body's pushing them to do that. Whereas like me, I know genetically, I have to force feed my to gain weight, I have to I have to force myself. My body actually likes to be thinner, I can just tell, versus other people. So that's the gist.
Yeah, and I think that's something that people often don't understand. Sometimes I hear people say to me, like, oh, I think that's just their choice. And I'm like, well, did you choose to be at the current body weight you're at? I don't think you did.
We're not saying that behavior has no role. It's like behavior does. Like, clearly there's learned behaviors. You can sit down to watch TV. You always have a bowl of popcorn or something like that. There are things like that. Again, that's partly our environment, because like back in the day, there wasn't popcorn that you could just pop in the microwave. But like, behavior is a part of it. But then biology continues to drive it, and that's what makes it really hard to lose weight and then keep it off. Otherwise, we could just do it. We could consciously think about it and just do it.
Thank you for joining us on our first episode on obesity medicine. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and learned something new today about the current landscape of obesity. Make sure to tune into our next episode where Dr. Nadolski and I will continue our discussion on obesity medicine, focusing on treatment, including lifestyle interventions, medications, and myths surrounding obesity treatment.